Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, Michael.
We're getting to that time of year when colds and respiratory infections are much more common. We know that COPD is complicated. There are patients who are at risk for COPD for a variety of reasons. Anything that can help us manage these patients, particularly at a time when they have respiratory infections, would be great. There are a variety of clinical factors that are thought to influence the natural history of patients with COPD. One of the things that has been suggested as a way to manage these folks is to measure their C-reactive protein. This is an acute phase reactant. It's sensitive, not particularly specific, predictor of inflammation in general, not respiratory disease specifically, but as listeners will know, is something that we use for identifying a sort of broad category of inflammation. An elevated CRP has been associated with increased mortality and morbidity and declining pulmonary functions in some studies with patients who have COPD, but not in others. So the question is, can obtaining a point of care C-reactive protein as a marker of inflammation help us manage these patients? You found an article that was published in New England Journal of Medicine, 2019. It starts on page 111. And the clinical question that it's helping us to answer is, does knowledge of point of care C-reactive protein help us avoid antibiotics without sacrificing benefit in patients with an exacerbation of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease? Mark, what did this randomized control trial find?
Yeah, this was led by Chris Butler, who's at the University of Oxford. I guess you call it Oxford University in England. And they have a really big clinical trials unit, and they've done a bunch of really good trials looking at things like steroids for sore throat and other questions that we clinicians really have. So the CRP device that they used was a point-of-care device, and they recruited 653 adults with documented COPD who were having an exacerbation. And higher levels of CRP are associated with a greater likelihood of a bacterial cause of an exacerbation. The same is true. They're associated with a higher risk of a bacterial cause of lower respiratory infection and also for sinus infection. So these were COPD patients. They were randomized to usual care or care that was guided by a point of care CRP test. The doctors were told antibiotics are unlikely to be helpful if CRP is less than 20. They may be helpful if it's 20 to 40. Especially if the patient also has purulent sputum, and they're likely to be beneficial if the CRP is greater than 40. They were told that the decision should be guided by all patient factors, not just the CRP. They didn't have to follow it, and being good doctors, they didn't. But they certainly looked at it, as we'll see. All the patients also had to have at least one of what's called the Antonysin criteria, and those three criteria are increased dyspnea, or shortness of breath, increased sputum volume, and increased sputum purulence. So they all had at least one of those. The primary outcome was antibiotic use. And as it turned out, the CRP-guided care group, 57% got an antibiotic compared to 77% in the usual care group for a number needed to treat of 5. At 2 weeks, patients in the CRP-guided group had actually greater improvement in their COPD severity score. And there were no other differences, and no differences in prescriptions, follow-up visits, hospitalizations. It's not like omitting that 20% of antibiotics caused any harm. It was interesting, 76% of patients had the lowest category of CRP. Only 12% were in the 20 to 40 range, and 12% were greater than 40. So really, if they were strictly following the CRP guidance, only 24%, not 57%, would have gotten an antibiotic. Obviously, they were looking at other factors. So this effect of the guidance was also greater, and in fact, was only statistically significant in those who had two or more of those Antonysin criteria. So if they had, two of dyspnea, increased sputum volume, increased sputum purulence. So bottom line, knowing CRP was helpful in helping physicians safely avoid antibiotics in patients with an acute exacerbation of COPD. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. There are currently some trials getting underway here looking at CRP in a U.S. population. It's pretty widely used. You know, folks know that we're studying it here, but then it's pretty widely used in some other countries, and I think is potentially helpful. It gives us just one more tool in helping, convince our patients that it's okay not to always have an antibiotic.
Yeah, no, I think it's a cool little study and is obviously useful. I think that perhaps where I'm a little confused, and maybe it's just where I work, but I've not seen a CRP as a point of care option. I mean, there are lots of things that we can do point of care, but at least in my clinic, I've not seen a machine that does CRP. Is that common here?
No, it's not. It's not a CLIA wave test in the United States. It's, in fact, the device, one of the devices that's used, many physicians have the device already in their office, and they plug a module in and it does A1Cs. They just have to plug a different module in. So it's not the complexity of the test. It's a finger stick test. It's a very simple interpretation, very straightforward to do, takes 5 minutes, costs $5. But the thing is, the FDA, and I spoke with someone at the FDA once when we were getting our study prepared here. And I should just say, in terms of conflict of interest, my study is funded by the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. One of the people that makes these CRP tests gave us the test kits and the devices for the study at no charge. So I'm not getting any money from them, but they did help us in terms of that study we're doing, which is an observational study. But anyway, these tests are used all over the Netherlands, and the docs that I talked to over there in Belgium, they love it because they can say, see, your CRP is only 3, except they say it with a Dutch accent. And then the patient feels much better about not, and there have been studies documenting that using that CRP guidance can help people be more comfortable not getting an antibiotic, and that it's a safe way to reduce inappropriate antibiotic use. So we may see them here. I think the company is trying to get that FDA waiver. If you're in a larger clinical setting, if you're in the ED, then you can get your lab to do the CRP, but it'll take longer, obviously.
So what it does is it calls into question whether we need a randomized control trial where we just have doctors in a Dutch accent telling patients they don't need antibiotics as opposed to an American accent. Is it more authoritarian if it comes?
There we go. Yes, great idea.
Thanks. We'll talk to you in a week.
All right. Sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.